I'm Clay Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Today I have to tell you the truth about tonight's show. As I was writing and thinking of things to talk about tonight on this program and the things I've been reading since last night, I was up until 3 in the morning actually doing research on this program. And it scared me. That's one of the reasons why I remained awake until like 3 in the morning, because the research I was stumbling upon gave me the creeps. And I don't normally get all creeped out about Planet X, but this time I did. I scared myself a little bit, because usually, you know, Planet X is one of those things where people tell you, oh, Planet X is coming, Planet X is coming, Planet X is coming, and I keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. I've been hearing about Planet X ever since I started some 20 years ago. People telling me that Planet X is coming. However, I haven't seen Planet X, nor am I anywhere, you know, close to thinking that Planet X is coming. But last night, I now am thinking that perhaps Planet X has a bigger, I guess, place in the equation, a bigger place in the eschaton than I realized. But I've never really gotten to the point where, you know, it's like every time I scratch the surface of Planet X, I feel like, ah, it's just another Planet X show. This time, though, I'm not going to scrape the surface. I'm diving deep. And that's why I'm frightened a little bit about what I'm about to tell you tonight, because, and some people believe that Planet X will be the wrecking ball in the apocalypse. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Nibiru is a planet listed in the writings of Zechariah Sitchin. According to Sitchin's interpretation of Babylonian religious texts, a giant planet called Nibiru passes by Earth every 3,600 years and allows its sentient inhabitants to interact with humanity.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, we dig. However, now it is said that Nibiru, or Planet X, Nibiru, or Planet X, will be a cosmic wrecking ball, and that its presence in our solar system will trigger a cataclysmic cycle. There are plenty of doomsayers now that claim that the increase of volcanic activity, stronger earthquakes, abnormal weather patterns, magnetic storms, and near-Earth object impacts like the ones in Russia and in Iran a couple days ago are meant, it's part of the evidence that somewhere out in space, Nibiru is coming, along with the promise that the gods are arriving as well. Our sun and our planet are showing evidence of profoundly disturbing trends that are adding to the argument that maybe something out there is disrupting the solar system that's causing this so-called wrecking ball effect on planet Earth. It all seems to be escalating. The mainstream media and mainstream science are continuing to create a blackout on information regarding potentially hazardous asteroids that may be pushed towards this Earth as huge celestial body or other celestial bodies, maybe even a planet or even something else may be coming within Earth's proximity. And this is where it gets scary, because if Planet X is happening, if Planet X is biblical, if Planet X is in the ancient scrolls, if Planet X is, anything like Kolob, like the Mormons believe, then we're doomed, because that planet coming in our direction, well, not necessarily doomed. It's basically a promise that if it does come, God and his son and Messiah and everybody else that works for him are going to come down and clean everything up. And they're going to do so, and it's going to be swift, and it's going to be done in the twinkling of an eye. But the topic is something that most people just poo-poo and say, ah, come on, Clyde. Planet X? You're kidding. I'm not. And neither are the prophets of the Bible, and neither are those who wrote those 300,000 cuneiform texts on the tablets of Sumeria, Mesopotamia. In a planet beyond the sun, beyond our own fathom of the solar system. Wherever we go, whatever we see, whatever we read, we hear of a planet, Nemesis, Nibiru, the other dwarf planet that's heading our way. And the orbit is like so many thousands of years. Now, those familiar with Zechariah Sitchin will say, I know all about this, Clyde. This is old ground, but no, it seems to be new now for me because of what I've discovered, what I've learned. Received an email today from John DiNardo, who sends me emails all the time. I was unaware, though, that he is the host of a show called The Light of Day Radio Show. And had a man on his show called Tom Loopshoe, who is a noted Ohio outdoorsman, talking about a government cover-up regarding several meteorite strikes in Iran. And, of course, we talked about that last night. But this goes even deeper, that there may be more meteor showers coming soon. And the reason why is because something is coming. Once again, the sweeper effect, as I said before, something is coming. And I don't know. It just seems to all fall into place. I don't know if I'm, you know, like I said earlier, I'm a Fortean. I believe in Fortean. I like reading about Fortean. And this is certainly right up the alley of Fortean thought. And John DiNardo, my guest tonight, this hour and next hour, if he wants to hang with us. Following his service as a U.S. Marine aircraft electronics technician, John DiNardo earned his bachelor's degree in science education from Keene University, specializing in physics and biology. He was inducted into the Kappa Delta Pi Nationwide Scholastic Honor Society upon graduation. He received state certification to teach all the sciences in the high schools of New Jersey. His early career forged in teaching high school physics. He taught 12th grade, 6 classes daily. Moving to greater creative latitude, he reverted to his previous career in electronics, working for the following companies: General Instruments Incorporated, McGraw Edison, Bendix Avionics, MCI Corporation, Dynalco Corporation, Tektronix Incorporated, Industrial Timer Corporation, Mobile Vision Incorporated, and 20 years with Bell Telephone Laboratories, AT&T and Bell Laboratories, inventing, building, and operationally providing electronic circuits used in developing AT&T's commercial and residential telecommunications products. John DiNardo comes with a pedigree so great and so wonderful, you'd wonder, why would he come on this program to talk about Planet X? Well, there's a lot more to it. There are these forces of energies, electricity and magnetism and the electric universe and all kinds of interesting things that we can elaborate on and speculate on, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have John DiNardo do that. John, welcome to Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. I'm glad to be with you and your audience.
I'm glad you're on my mailing list. I'm glad that you write me emails. I'm glad that you sent me an email today that just sparked my imagination further into what I was studying the night before. It was such synchronicity that I had to have you on the program.
Well, thanks, Clyde. I would like to start out by reading a landmark article from the New York Times, which I obtained from my county library. This article is dated January 30th, 1983. I have the exact photocopy, not a transcript, and I've posted this article with Marshall Masters' website too, so people can access it, the exact article on the internet. The title of this article, January 30th, 1983, New York Times, Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X, by John Noble Wilford. Quote, something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought Planet X. Well, there's a clue right there. They've been seeking this object for a long time. Continuing, evidence assembled in recent years has led several groups of astronomers to renew the search for the 10th planet. They are devoting more time to visual observation with the 200-inch telescope at Mount Palomar in California. They are tracking two Pioneer spacecraft, now approaching the orbit of distant Pluto to see if variations in their trajectories provide clues to the source of this mysterious force. Let me clarify that. What they did was they launched the Pioneer 10 space probe in the direction of where their calculations indicated that this massive body was, this massive body which was exerting a gravitational force on the outer planets. And their calculations proved to be correct. When they did launch this space probe in a direction near distant Pluto, it took years for the space probe to get out there to the outer bounds of the solar system near where they calculated this planet would be, or this large mass would be. And sure enough, they never did indicate. This tells me that they did indeed have success in a mission in detecting the gravitational pull of this massive object, because their theory was that if they got close, the space probe got close to this object, there would be enough of a gravitational pull from the massive body to divert this space probe, Pioneer 10, off of its trajectory slightly. And I'm quite sure that it was successful. And the reason is no one ever got a report on the results of that flyby.
I know. I as you say, I've been... I was well aware of the 1980s discovery. I remember using it a long time ago when I first talked about Planet X, and completely interested in what they found. No report of what they found. As we're edging closer to the Mayan calendar's doom date of December 21st, 2012, NASA finally piped up and said, there is no Planet X. There is no planet heading our way to destroy the planet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They wanted to diffuse any fear that may be generated by saying that the Mayan calendar and Nibiru or Planet X have any correlation whatsoever. But then after it all died down, they were back again talking about Planet X and Planet Y and all these other planets that they say they're looking for. And then, of course, they've been talking about the Kepler planets and possible life there. So it's no real secret that there may be other planets out there that could be coming closer, moving closer to us. Am I correct?
Here is what they're devious. Well, there certainly are many, many objects out there, yes. And with this massive brown dwarf star coming in, its gravitational pull is so strong that it's dragging like a vacuum cleaner. It's dragging many other celestial bodies with it. And the problem is what makes it so dangerous to planet Earth and all life on Earth is that this brown dwarf star, despite its great mass and its consequently great gravitational pull, it's like a little fly compared to our sun. Our sun has a mass equivalent to nearly a third of a million Earths. Take a third of a million Earths, lump them all together, and you've got the equivalent mass of the sun. So this great fisherman, our sun, is reeling in this smaller fish, Planet X, which is a mere thousand Earth masses.
So
conservatively speaking, I mean, that's what you call the puniest brown dwarf star by definition, is about a thousand Earth masses, and it could be much larger than that. Now, can you imagine the gravitational pull of a body with a thousand Earth masses as it passes a few million miles past Earth on it, as it's being reeled in by the great fisherman, our sun?
Well, this is where we get a number of people saying that Planet X, or if it is Nibiru or the famed Wing Planet, this is where we're hearing from a lot of people who speculate that this planet, celestial body, or whatever you call it, would be the wrecking ball, the cosmic wrecking ball that would bring to us a catastrophic cycle. And many are saying that the catastrophic cycle is beginning now and that Planet X is due soon. But who knows, John? We got to take a break, but let's talk more about this. John DiNardo, my guest tonight on Ground Zero, fascinating guest, talking to us about Planet X and a number of things, too, that go right along with it. I was up all night long fascinated by this after we did our show about the rock that apparently hit Iran and the high temperatures and all the other strange apocalyptic things that happened. And now it got me thinking about possibilities of this celestial body that John speaks of that may be heading our way, causing these problems on the planet. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More from John DiNardo coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Clyde Lewis, you are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, John DiNardo with us, an expert on Planet X. And, of course, what prompted me to seek out John was an email he sent to me regarding a guest that appeared on the Light of Day radio show, Tom Lupshu, who warned of a government cover-up regarding a lot of the meteorites falling from the sky. Of course, the one in Argentina and Iran. Of course, years ago, we had the one in Chelyabinsk, and I was very concerned. In fact, during the show last night, someone had brought up the possibility that a lot of what is happening is part of some snooker table type of science where things are bouncing off everything else, hitting in everything else, and we're having some sort of a pool table type effect in space where a large celestial body may be heading our direction. And of course, what went through my mind was Planet X. And as I came home last night, with my mind reeling about the possibility of Planet X, I get an email from John talking about the subject matter of some sort of cover-up, which explains the reason why the fireball that exploded in Iran was not reported in the mainstream news. Are they blacking this out because maybe they want to keep quiet the possibility of something coming close to us, John?
Yes, I believe so. They, of course, the governments have always been secretive when it comes to disasters because they don't want to panic the public. And, of course, all governments being nefarious will want to maintain power over the people. Mm-hmm. And when people begin to panic because of natural disasters, they begin to start thinking about protecting themselves, and they lose their obedience and their fear. Obedience to and their fear of the government. And this is what the power elite, the ruling elite, hate. And they are afraid of people becoming independent and destroying their economic house of cards before they have a chance to descend into their underground cities.
Do you find it synchronistic at all that your guest on your show mentioned the fact that a lot of what's going on from the anomalies in space to electromagnetic type of storms may knock out infrastructure, and that today, by some strange coincidence, most of the cell phones went down. We had cell phone outages reported in parts of the United States. In fact, the widespread outage in Kentucky, Tennessee, all along the South, many of the cell phones went down. I don't know if you heard about this today, but it did. I thought it was synchronistic.
That is an ominous sign. I'm glad you told me about that.
Yeah.
It's really, there will be more celestial bodies passing Earth. Just visualize this object. And I'm not theorizing. Incidentally, I have not gotten the chance to tell you what some of the greatest scientists and astronomers and astrophysicists have said over the last two centuries. Believe it or not, it's been nearly two centuries since, I would say since the early 1800s, that astronomers worldwide have noticed perturbations or plucking of the outer planets, Uranus and Neptune, in their revolutions around the sun. And they knew that there's no way that these planets could be pulled or plucked out of their orbits, sort of like a runner on a racetrack going around the circular track. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one of the bystanders grabs him by the arm and pulls him off of his course momentarily. That's sort of what happens to these outer planets. And they knew there must be some massive object exerting a commensurately massive gravitational pull in order to perturb these outer planets off of their orbit
now,
path. So
right.
We know scientifically this thing exists. Astronomers have known for nearly two centuries. Now, the late Dr. Robert S. Harrington, one of the most eminent astronomers in the world at the time of this New York Times article was written, 1983, Dr. Robert S. Harrington is saying that this is object is probably a brown dwarf star. I'll just quote to you from the New York Times that I started reading January 30th. Just suffice it to remember that it's the first month of 1983, and the reason I mention that is because I'm going to read you another article from the last month of 1983.
Why don't
they said they're lying?
Okay, John, why don't you read that article after our break? We got to go to news. And then after the news, we'll be back with you because this is some fascinating stuff. And I want to remind you and remind the listeners today that I got a press release from AT&T saying that the Southeast today experienced a outage of cell phone. Southeast experienced issues. AT&T and several other phone groups were responding to phone outages on cell phones. I've heard that it was a cable cut. There are also bad weather in the area, but still there's the possibility of some magnetic disturbance because we've been having some interesting space weather the past few days. John DiNardo with us on Ground Zero. What is causing the space weather? The strange rocks in Iran? Maybe something's heading our way. Could it be Planet X? Who knows? We'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Skies, it is believed to be the prophecy of extraordinary events. The birth of kings.
Satellite back to its default position and are receiving streaming data.
What are we looking at?
This is an area between the Indian subcontinent and the Tibetan Plateau. We're picking up an area of anomalous electromagnetic radiation just south of the plateau.
Mysterious tremors are continuing to rattle nerves around the globe, with Cape Town and Sydney being the most recent cities to experience the shaking. These are just the latest in an increasingly long list of unusual happenings that have been occurring all over the world in the past 24 hours.
Clyde Lewis, you are listening to Ground Zero. Members of call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Okay, so we have a rock hitting Iran before the weekend began. A heat index saying that it felt like 165 degrees in that area of the world. Then we have all the cell phones go down in the southeast today, saying maybe a cable was cut. There was some bad weather out there, but I don't know if the bad weather would affect cell phones. But electromagnetic pulses and all of these things going with anomalous effects in the sky, whether it be solar flares or even rogue meteors that are heading our way. In fact, according to John DiNardo and a guest that he had on his program, that we're going to be seeing a lot of this the next couple of months, and the media will definitely not talk about it unless the people demand it. And this starts the mind reeling about things like Planet X. And of course, John, you were going to read us another article that you said was going to further more in this discussion. I'd like for you to do that now. It's an amazing topic, and I'm glad you're here to talk about it, because I am really, I was fascinated about this possibility, the synchronicity of your guest today, talking about the infrastructure perhaps going down with some of these so-called rocks passing over with the magnetic energies that could, you know, take out lights, power, cell phone grid, maybe, who knows, and then the cell phones go down today in the southeast. I thought that was fascinating.
Yes, before I read these articles that indicate that there's a cover-up, and the cover-up existed way back in 1983. That's when the cover-up began. Mm-hmm. Before I read that, I just wanted to comment and say that people may be confused in thinking, well, what is it? Is it a huge object, a brown dwarf star of 1,000 Earth masses in size, in mass, or is it a bunch of meteors and asteroids, or what's going on? So let me clarify this. This object, as it comes in through deep space, Now, I've done a lot of study. It's been proven. It's been shown by scientists and astronomers. So what I'm doing is just repeating their research that they've done over the centuries, that this object is being drawn in by our sun, and it makes sense because our sun is like a great celestial fisherman. It's one-third of a million Earth masses, and naturally it has an incredible gravitational pull, even upon objects that are beyond our solar system. So it's pulling this brown dwarf star in, and as a brown dwarf star comes in, it itself is passing through many, many thousands of celestial bodies, passing by oceans of celestial bodies, especially as it comes in through the Oort cloud, way far out beyond our solar system's outer bounds. And it grabs these comets gravitationally, like a magnet would, like as if you had a huge, powerful magnet on your tabletop and you had iron filings sprinkled all over the tabletop. As you slowly drag that magnet, that powerful magnet across your table, it would pick up iron filings, and there would be a trail of missing iron filings along the path of this incoming object. Mm-hmm. Well, each iron filing is like a comet or an asteroid, and the magnet would be like Planet X itself. So you can imagine all these tiny little celestial iron filings, asteroids, meteors being dragged in and pulled in along with this massive body. It's like a beehive. Planet X is like a beehive, and the surrounding celestial bodies are like the bee swarm around the massive beehive. As you go farther away from the beehive, the density of the bees becomes less dense. Mm-hmm. As you get closer to the beehive, the density of bees becomes greater. That's logical. That's what you would expect. As this object moves in, we're getting a greater and greater density of comets and asteroids and meteors being pulled in. A greater density is passing by Earth now. And that's why the power elite, NASA, the government, the controllers are very much afraid, because they're setting up the International Space Station. They're trying to figure out ways to divert these asteroids, which is commendable. They want to save planet Earth because they live here too. And so they have many, many clever ways to try to deviate these objects from hitting Earth. That's what's happening with the International Space Station. As you know, they try to keep this low key, but the International Space Station has been the object of a great amount of construction, tons and tons, at least 100 tons, I would say, of apparatus and equipment has been rocketed up to the International Space Station over the last several years. And this is not just for repairs. I mean, it's obvious to me, and I'm not even in the know. And so you can imagine what scientists in NASA must realize, that this is a plan to try to divert celestial objects from hitting Earth. But of course, they're not going to tell the people. So anyway, let me just get back to digressing too much.
Okay.
The article in the New York Times, the first month of 1983, they said they heralded in their headlines, and they called it the search for Planet X, and their infrared astronomical satellite was being launched. That was the whole focus of this article. Clues get warm in the search for Planet X, New York Times, was that they were launching the infrared astronomical satellite to detect the invisible infrared light that's being emitted by this object. Okay, mm-hmm. So it was really proud of this. Is a proud occasion, the launching of the infrared astronomical satellite. And Dr. Harrington and the other astronomers in this article are saying that, quote, we believe that this is probably a brown dwarf star that accounts for this mysterious pulling force on the outer planets Uranus and Neptune. Okay, remember they said it's a brown dwarf star, and one other key point that most people don't catch it is that this, they say that this object back in the first month of 1983 was about 5 billion miles beyond Pluto. Now they say, now that's hardly next door but still within the gravitational influence of our sun. That's a very revealing statement by these scientists, because what they're saying is this object, even though it was at the fringes of our sun's gravitational force field, it's still being pulled in, and the closer it gets, the more powerful is that pulling force, and the greater consequent acceleration of this object as it comes in. What happens in the cover-up is they heralded proudly the search for Planet X in the first month of 1983 in the New York Times. Now, in the last month of 1983, somebody in the NSA, obviously, National Security Agency, said, please, do not, or not, they never used the word please. They said, do not talk about this Planet X, okay? So what happened when they actually discovered it in the last month of 1983, 11 months later, they had a front page article, which I also photocopied. So now it's not a transcript, but the actual article that I have sitting in front of me, and I have posted it on my Facebook page too. Front page, Washington Post, January 30th, 1983. Title, possibly as large as Jupiter, mystery heavenly body discovered by Thomas O'Toole, Washington Post staff writer. Quote, a heavenly body possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. infrared astronomical satellite. Now, get this cover-up. I mean, now they're switching their whole focus, and they're saying, we don't know what this thing is. Before, they were saying, we're looking for Planet X, splattered all over the headlines, proudly looking for this long-sought, 200-year search for Planet X.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, oh, quote, in Washington Post, so mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, a nearby protostar that never got hot enough to become a star, a distant galaxy so young that it is still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through. Somebody with a creative propaganda pen wrote this from the NSA, obviously. Can you imagine all this nonsense?
Well, and that's the...
We don't know what it is. It could be this.
Right.
It sounds like something out of Star Trek.
Well, exactly. All of this information that you're talking about, 1983, all the 1980s, has not made it to the internet or wasn't on the internet, so we can't have this fast access to it. So we forget that all of this information was released. And I knew about this information. This is what I've talked about before. The idea of first telling us, then taking it from us. And then recently I've been doing reports, and it's all about the possible alien contact idea and the idea that we've been scouting the heavens. The Catholic Church has Lucifer scouting the heavens. This $100 million was offered up for proof of alien life and alien signal interception. They're giving it to, SETI. In order for them to use their radio telescopes to detect anything, Stephen Hawking says he's behind it 100%, did a double take on me because he said a while ago, he says he didn't know if it's right for us to be signaling aliens or bringing anything towards us. And then, of course, there's these legends that Planet X, and I did the stories, did the reading, that Planet X has been, before it was called Planet X, it was certainly known as the Olamim, or the Tabernacle, the great heavens of heavens, the place where the gods lived, the winged planet, and the idea that these gods would return upon this, what is known as the Olamim, or the Olam. And you can read throughout the Old Testament and beyond, Deuteronomy, you read in Psalms, you read in Kings, all of these scriptures say that God has a place in heaven where he holds counsel with all of these other beings. And I'm reading about Sumerian cosmic mythologies, ancient aliens, all these things that some people would consider cosmic blasphemy. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. There are also stories of, like, for example, in the book of John, in my father's house or the Olam or many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. All of this seems to come together biblically. It comes together on the 300,000 tablets were found in the early 19th century. Everything that Charles Fort has said, Eric von Daniken has said, and Zechariah Sitchin have said seems to be coming to pass. I want some comments on that coming up. John DiNardo, my guest on Ground Zero tonight. Fascinating topic, Planet X, in a way that I haven't really approached it before. And it seems that it's been a part of us for thousands of years. And now we're getting closer to the possibility of it coming. Maybe us experiencing this cosmic wrecking ball, a catastrophic cycle. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
I'm Clyde Lewis. John DiNardo is my guest tonight on Ground Zero. So glad to have him on board with us. Planet X tonight in a way you've never heard before. In fact, some interesting tidbits that I had stumbled upon overnight while doing some studying. Just really fascinated. I stumbled upon the word Olam and Olamim as the dwelling of the high place of God. That this has been part of the traditions for some time. 300,000 tablets, cuneiform tablets retrieved saying that there was a high place in the heavens where God resided, that it was a planet or a rock in heaven, interchangeable with the word star or planet or celestial body, that many people know of the Sumerian winged planet where the gods live. In fact, I was even telling you that even the Mormons have a belief in something called Kolob, which is a star or a planet where God lives. And you gave me the name of something that I just was blown away by. And what was that name?
The name of an ancient name of Planet X, you mean?
Yes, yes.
Well, let's see. Gabriel's Fist is one. The Destroyer, I don't recall the one I just gave you.
The one about Kolob.
I mean, earlier on the phone today.
Yeah,
not,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it was Hercolobus. That's another name. Hercolobus, I believe.
Hercolobus.
You can Google that name.
Okay.
That's just one of many names. In Mark Hazelwood's book, Blindsided, he mentions he found like something like 63 different names for this object because it is so well known throughout ancient history. Why would that be? Why would this object be so well known? Because it's on a cometary orbit. Now, a comet, by definition, is an object, a celestial object, that comes in at regular periodic intervals, sort of like a celestial pendulum on your grandfather's clock.
Mm-hmm.
And just for example, a comet, what's the famous comet, Halley's Comet,
Halley's
right. Comet. Comes in every 75 years. You can expect it like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this comet is a large, very large object, and it comes in on a very long period, 36 and a half centuries. Every 36 and a half centuries, this massive celestial pendulum makes its swing from deep space back into our solar system. Loops around our sun, and then it is slingshotted by our sun back out into deep space, where it travels for another 18 and a half centuries one way, 18 and a half centuries back the other way. It's a round trip past, going back out to the distant, our sun's twin sun.
Mm-hmm.
Which is dead, which is not emitting light, but it's a twin sun. It revolves around that one because that twin sun has a very great gravitational pull also. It's like two tennis players. Our sun is in the near court, and our sun's twin sun, many billions and billions of miles away, dark twin sun, the tennis player on the far court. And Planet X is like the tennis ball that gets batted back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the tennis ball is slowly coming back toward the player in the near court. That's our sun. And it takes 36 and a half centuries. If you look back, you can see the time indexing agrees with that 36.5-century interval.
I just looked up Hercolobus. I just looked it up. And they're saying now that a lot of people say they conflated Hercolobus with Planet X. But Hercolobus is a huge planet. It's a red planet. And they call it the planet that brings the end of the world, Hercolobus. It's a very scary name, I think, Hercolobus. But the idea of Kolob being the planet where God resides in the Mormon faith. There's even a song called If You Could Hide a Kolob, which is a very interesting song about going all the way to the planet where the gods began. And this is exactly the same Sumerian legend and cosmic mythology dealing with Nibiru and the Anunnaki and all of the other, the Elohim and others that would serve the one most high God, the Tetragrammaton, the God there, the unnamed God. So it's interesting. This is a very interesting conversation. John DiNardo with us. Your phone call is coming up. Of course, you may have a lot of questions. Like, I'm still trying to unravel this. This is some very interesting stuff tonight as we talk about Planet X on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Let me be clear. As a citizen and as president, Ground Zero is indeed essential to our radio and is essential to who we are.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should be."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should be."
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. I had a number of people on Twitter sending me tweets asking me, they said, you know, in the beginning of the program, first hour, you were saying that Planet X is everywhere. It's in a lot of things. It's in the Bible. It's in ancient writings. It's everywhere, even in a Scooby-Doo cartoon. They said, can you tell us the Scooby-Doo cartoon? I don't know the name of the Scooby-Doo called cartoon. I just know that there was a Scooby-Doo cartoon that mentioned Planet X, Nibiru. And we were actually reviewing it during the break, and so I thought as a special treat tonight, we would share with you the little moment on Scooby-Doo where they talk about Planet X. Here is Scooby-Doo, the Gang of the Mystery Machine, talking about Nibiru.
Something's been bugging me about our little underwater escapade.
There's a lot about that adventure I wish we could forget.
Amen to that.
But the weirdest part of all was what the late Abigail Gluck whispered.
Like I'll say, a crazy mummified corpse whispering Nibiru is creepy times 10.
It gets creepier. Mm-hmm. I googled it and found a lot. Namely this. Nibiru is a planet listed in the writings of Zachariah Sitchin, particularly his book The Twelfth Planet. According to Sitchin's interpretation of Babylonian religious texts, a giant planet called Nibiru passes by Earth every 3,600 years and allows its sentient inhabitants to interact with humanity. These beings, which Sitchin identified with the Anunnaki of Sumerian myth, would become humanity's first gods. My favorite internet encyclopedia says there's supposed to be a collision. The Nibiru collision is a disastrous encounter between the Earth and a large planetary object. Believers in this doomsday event usually refer to this object as Planet X, or Nibiru.
The doomsday event?
What are they teaching the kids?
A doomsday event?
888-673-3700. 888-673-3700. John DiNardo with us tonight on Ground Zero. I just find it funny that they even sneak it into Scooby-Doo cartoons, all the information about Planet X.
Yeah, they have the power. The government, the ruling elite has the power to influence television programming. We all know that with the prior to the attacks on the Twin Towers on September 11, 2001, 6 months before that, on the X-Files, we had a drama which actually dramatized the coming event.
Also, yeah, the event.
Planes into the World Trade Center. So they, and this was all came from the government, mm-hmm. you know, because for some reason they feel they have to tell us what they're going right. to do, but they do it in a cloaked way.
There was a TV show called The Event where actually these aliens were here on planet Earth. They had a place in Alaska where they were at, and then they escaped, and then their sole purpose was to bring. They had a dying planet. They were supposed to bring all of their inhabitants back, but the only way they could was to bring the planet back. And the planet looked a lot like Earth, and there it was in the heavens, a huge planet. It definitely was the tale of Planet X. There was a movie called Melancholia that talks yeah. about the planet and also another Earth. And I think there's another movie called The Tree of Life that kind of talks about the idea of another planet that's coming our way.
So the mainstream media is really talking about this, but they're doing it in a covert way, a very secretive, mysterious way, so that they can have, I guess there's a multiple purpose. One is to satisfy their conscience that they warned us, but, you know, to do it in such a way that it doesn't really help us at all. It leads us to destruction through ignorance. And also, their other motive is to mislead. You see, mm-hmm. the concept they promoted in the movies of Crashing and Scooby-Doo and the movie Melancholia, the theme is Planet X crashing into the Earth. Well, that does not happen. What happens is the object is being drawn toward the sun, and it will pass across through the over planet Earth, over planet Earth's orbital path, its orbital ring, as well as the orbital rings of all the other planets, but it will not hit Earth. So that's a misconception, and that's why they use that as disinformation to make it yeah. sound so ludicrous.
Yeah, I've always heard that it will collide.
The gravitational yeah. force mm-hmm. is so powerful that it molests Earth's surface.
Right. I have some phones we want to get to. Let's go to Gilbert first. Gilbert says he's a colleague of yours, and he wants to come on the air. Gilbert, hi. You're on Ground Zero with John DiNardo.
Good evening.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Gilbert.
Hello. Hello, John. And how is things going for your show?
Going really well. Things are going well tonight. What do you have to say to John?
Well, there are different interpretations of the orbital path. The one that John just described was one as a cometary type.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that are coplanar, and then the one that I take as a different approach is that the orbit is actually 90 degrees to the ecliptic plane, and most of the orbital time is spent on the southern side of the ecliptic plane. So it comes up from underneath the ecliptic plane, pierces through the ecliptic plane between Jupiter and the main asteroid belt, about halfway, and then arcs up over the sun and pierces back down through, and then continues back down into deep space.
Well, anything that is, from what I've read, anything that is within 4 million miles, more than 4 million, over 4 million miles, is considered a potentially hazardous celestial body. So anything that gets near to us within our solar system will most definitely have an effect on all of the planets, including our Earth. So even if it doesn't hit, we will be experiencing all kinds of craziness, even if it comes, within 4 million miles, which I think would be, a close shave cosmically.
That's correct. But what will happen, again, I'd be presuming the 90 degree model. What will happen is you've got an iron ball the size of Jupiter, probably about Jupiter's mass. So that's 300 times Earth mass. And over 1,000 times Earth size volumetrically. But it's going to have an awful lot of iron in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out via the abundance ratios of the elements of the universe. And because it has so much iron, it has so much mass, it's going to throw one hell of a massive magnetic sphere around itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? just like the Earth does, but so much bigger. It's going to go out, you know, way out there. And it's turning at its angle of rotation, even at 90, would be cutting across, you know, cross purposes to the rotation of the magnetic influence of the sun. So when you add up the magnetic influence of Wormwood, Planet X, Nibiru, plus the sun, plus the Earth, it's a formula for disaster, because it's like they're all locking swords.
Mm-hmm.
And magnetically, that's, you know, that cannot end well. Then you have the gravitational effects and all these discharges and all this garbage that it collects, because it collects a lot of methane ice from the Oort cloud surrounding the sun. The ice junk that's part of our solar system reaches out a light year.
Uh-huh.
The sun's gravitational reach is quite long. And it collects it from the Kuiper belt, and it'll collect some junk occasionally from the asteroid belt, and, you know, just wherever its gravitational arms reach out. And it just has this ability to collect so much junk and throw it around.
So once again, we're talking about this snooker sweeper effect I've spoken of before. And like yesterday, I said that NASA released the data on Chelyabinsk, saying that it was a chip off the old block, saying that whatever it came off of, the Chelyabinsk rock that exploded, whatever it came off of was a huge mother asteroid that had been hit so many times and pounded so many times in space that it just shook off and just hurled through space and somehow wound up over the Ural Mountains. And so, you know, a lot of the time when they're telling us, well, look here at this thing, it's not going to hit us, what they don't tell you is the sweeper effect. They don't tell you about how these rocks and these other heavenly bodies are being pushed or being caught up in some, you know, cosmic wind or dislodged, that'll hit us. So they can't even keep track of that.
No, there's no way they can keep track of it. What you have is the effect is like having a saw blade that runs opposite to a normal table saw blade, and it's like it cuts up through the ecliptic plane and then cuts back down through on the other side. Comes up on one side of the sun, right ascension 18.
Right.
Arcs over the sun and cuts back down through right ascension 6, and then again back out to space, but it's throwing all this junk around.
Yeah.
And the Bible predicts that on this next trip, one of the major events that will happen will be an incineration event, because it's going to be throwing so much methane ice, slinging so much methane ice, that it incinerates about one-third of the surface of the Earth.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. You're starting to talk about the level of disaster that this thing can bring home. It doesn't even have to touch you. It's like sitting there with, you know, thousands of yo-yos that are swinging on the end of the string, and it can throw yo-yos at you. And these are big, you know, huge blocks of methane ice that's just picked up from its travels, in the hemisphere skies.
Let me ask John, do you have about a minute or so? Would you comment on what he said?
I agree with much of what Gilbert says. Some of the details we disagree on, but it's only because some of this information is so difficult to really clarify.
Right.
No one even really knows, but I basically agree with Gilbert.
Well, fantastic. John DiNardo. Gilbert, thank you so much. Just a remarkable phone call to kick off this hour. I thank you for calling, and I thank you for your knowledge, and it's more to think about as we go really deep into this Planet X subject, more, I guess, deeper than I've ever gotten. I've been enlightened by some of the events that have been happening in space and the possibility of the sweeper effect that's been happening. More rocks to come, more explosions in the sky, more sounds and rumbles. So, Gilbert, thank you for the call.
We haven't seen anything yet.
All right, Gilbert, thank you for the call, and thank you for calling in. We haven't seen anything yet. John DiNardo, my guest. Oh, this is amazing. Some interesting times ahead. Hope you're going to buckle in. Front row seat for what is coming from space. Is it Planet X? Is it... Gosh, I don't know what it is. It's just a remarkable thought and a frightening one at that. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Back with more. Don't go away. You're listening to Ground Zero. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Welcome back to Ground Zero. My guest tonight, John DiNardo, taking phone calls at 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Steve in New York. Hi, Steve. You're on Ground Zero with John DiNardo.
Yeah, hi. That was really quick. Hey, I've got several things to say, including a quick joke if you won't hang up on me. It's not no girl, it's your mama. Perturbing the planets, but anyway, that wasn't funny, was it?
I don't know. Go ahead. Get on with the show. We only got much time before we go to news, so go ahead.
Okay. The thing is that I don't believe Navarro is the same as Planet X. I think they're two different things. I think Planet X is probably a dwarf star, if it is anything, because there is a there's a dwarf star they did find that's like 80 to 90 degrees hot, which would mean that you could have life on it. Okay, they did a show on Star Trek, the Enterprise X, that the first Enterprise that had a planet with no star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just possible if you had a dwarf star. And I'm not going to argue or agree with everything he says, because I agree with most of what he's saying. It could be true. I believe that archaeology tries to prove the Bible more than it does try to prove anything factual.
Well, that's the thing. I was very surprised, as I said earlier, I was very surprised in what I was studying, as I would agree with you, Steve, that if you look at all of what is known as the cosmic mythology surrounding our gods, no matter who they are, whether it be Apollo or Quetzalcoatl or any of these, they all belong on some planet or some locale that is near the sun or that is somewhere else in the star systems. And I came across a Hebrew word, olamim or olam, which some interpret as a tent or a tabernacle or a temple. But as you go further within the Old Testament and further on, you find that it is an area, or it's a high, it's in the most high, the first and the last. And they say that this is where God lives. He lives on a rock in heaven, or he lives in the heaven's most heaven, which is, of course, somewhere out in space in the solar system. And basically I was confounded by this because, of course, I never knew this. And then they don't tell you exactly where in the heavens he lives, but they say it's in a place that, is where he, creates all of humanity, all of the creatures, everything, and he's constantly creating and building upon the universe. I just found that to be fascinating because of the fact that the old winged planet the Sumerians talked about was the planet of the gods. It was Nibiru, the Anunnaki. They talk about how the Elohim and others, you know, all fit into this type of pantheon, and then stumbled upon Kolob, which, of course, is a planet that that Mormons say where God lives, or a star where God lives, according to a book written by Joseph Smith. So it's amazing. And then we hear Hercolobus, or which is like Kolob, Hercolobus, which is, of course, the planet of doomsday, or the planet of God returning, basically to create the cataclysmic cycle on planet Earth. So it's a real fascinating subject when you go beyond, you know, just what Zachariah Sitchin had said, beyond what Eric Von Daniken had said, and beyond the ancient aliens, theories that Planet X has played a role in a lot of the ancient histories and other histories. So, you know, this may be something that we need to kind of open up and pay attention to a little bit more than we do.
Yeah, but additionally, what I called in for and wanted to say was that Planet X could possibly be a spaceship, which is on a fact-finding science mission. and it might come back every few thousand years just to catch up on us and see what's going on or whatever.
Sounds like Arthur Clarke did a book called Rendezvous with Rama, which is a planet, which is a spaceship that was going, it came over to the area every so many thousands of years, and they did so because they wanted to go to the sun to get more fuel. Amazing story.
Yeah, it may be two different things. You could have a Planet X and a spaceship.
Yeah. Well, Steve,
and I think I called it once once before and said that I could prove that that Poseidon existed because his trident could have actually been a directional antenna.
That's it. That's an amazing thought. Hey, Steve, I'm out of time, but I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Bye.
Take care, buddy. Good call from Steve. John DiNardo, my guest tonight on Ground Zero. We're talking about Planet X, going deeper than I think most shows have about Planet X tonight, and talking about all of the mythologies, all of the possibilities, and some of the more contemporary cover-ups and actually blackouts of things falling from space that may have a connection to a celestial body having a pull in our solar system. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero.
With Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
For years, we've wondered about a mysterious object that orbits our sun every 3,600 years. We know it by many names: Planet X, Nibiru, Destroyer, and Wormwood.
Scientists suggesting the Earth may be on the verge of another mass extinction, similar to the one that killed the dinosaurs. It happened five times in the past 540 million years, but this time around, experts say we may be able to stop it.
In December 1983, scientists at the IRAS Space Observatory made headlines when they announced that they had used an infrared satellite to detect an unknown object. IRAS reported that the object appeared to be moving towards Earth. With the discovery of the unknown object, it seemed conceivable that the search for the elusive Planet X was finally over. But just 4 years later, in 1987, NASA announced that its two Pioneer spacecrafts had failed to find any evidence to support speculation that Planet X is out there. So what had happened to this unknown object the size of Jupiter? Could it have been Planet X, and if so, are NASA hiding it?
Well, so far, if you analyze the last few hundred years of life on the Earth, human activity apparently has wiped out 1.4% of all plant and animal species.
Says Planet X Predictions Groups at the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington and at Teledyne Brown Engineering in Huntsville, Alabama, are attempting to solve for the orbit and present location of the planet. Observations of both Uranus and Neptune are now being used, although each has its limitations.
We're going to stay on the air for as long as possible. All we can say is what we've been repeating all morning. Get to the end of the show.
This isn't the end, son.
I know.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, John DiNardo is my guest, talking about Planet X. Going deeper than we've ever gone before on this subject. It's up all night reading about it, just fascinated about some of the things I had stumbled upon. And John, of course, coincidentally sending me an email discussing how there's been a blackout in the media regarding some of the anomalies that are happening in the sky. We've been hearing about fireballs, explosions, situation in Iran, hot temperatures, all kinds of strange things. And today, in the southeast of the country, cell phone shutdowns. Many people without cell phone use. Cell phones went down. Of course, the explanation is that some cable was cut or something. But, of course, there was all kinds of storminess moving through, maybe some electric lightning. Cause I never heard of lightning taking out cell phones. But, of course, we have had some sightings of fireballs over Kentucky and other parts of the southeast. So who knows? Anything can possibly be going on. And, of course, this may all be connected to Planet X. And that's why I was fascinated by the possibility and led on some other things that I shared with you earlier. Let's go to Shane in North Dakota. You're on with John DiNardo.
Yes. To be quick, you know, you would bring up what you were reading on the other night with these other texts and everything, and I too believe 100% the Bible alludes to a cosmic event, and I think that event is no more of an importance than to enter in the Antichrist, you know, for him to come in and play the hero per se. And I can see this other stuff, you know, occurring just like your guest had said, you know, prior to 9/11, there was on the X-Files, they had a little show where something was similar to what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I can see like these cosmic events that are occurring now are the satanic I'm throwing up my quotation fingers for some stupid reason, but
how can I want to ask you a question though. If this is all satanic, uh-huh. then you know, I don't think there's going to be anything left for us to assess whether it's satanic or not. John, would you say this is some satanic plot?
No, this is actually, I agree with the caller quite a bit.
All right. What do you agree with the caller? I just want to hear.
I agree with this idea that these natural disasters will usher in the Antichrist.
Wow. Okay.
God is the one who, from everything I've studied and prayed about in the Bible and from all the prophecy, and I really want to get into prophecy because that's so important. It's so convincing. But everything I've studied indicates that God is the one who brings these natural disasters by way of Planet X. The earthquakes, the volcanic eruptions, all are stimulated by Planet X exciting the sun and Planet X gravitationally and magnetically mm-hmm. exciting Earth, causing Earth to be Earth's surface and underlying mantle to be molested and manipulated. Earth will get a facelift. All of this is from God, but what man does to in his efforts to seize control of the entire world, the one world order, global dictatorship under a one world antichrist, mm-hmm. I agree with the caller. This is all Satan's way of combating God's attempt to bring people by fear to turn to God in their hearts, in their minds, so that they will live eternally upon the death that all of us await. All of us await death. Upon that death, we will have an eternal life
right.
if we bring our minds to the great God of love who created us and beckons us to call out to him in our hearts and our minds daily. So it's God that's bringing the devastation through natural disaster. It is Satan who is fighting back and trying to create his own fear to bring people to his side
right.
by having an Antichrist who is at first to be a peaceful man of bringing the world together against global warfare and on behalf of worldwide harmony and peace. But yet he will become a savage dictator when he has seized control, and Satan himself will indwell this Antichrist at some point.
So Shane, I guess you can say that what you're kind of pointing out tonight is that the Antichrist isn't going to let a good crisis go to waste. Wink, wink.
Sort of, yeah. And like he was saying, you know,
right.
The best way to upend Christianity that everybody understands it to be
right.
is to have a great big cosmic event, and everybody run to church and go, "What's going on?" And the people in church are going to be like, "I don't know what's going on." You know, you got the Pope already starting to you know, get on board a little bit.
Yeah, get on board with the global warming people and the climate change people. Yeah, right.
Yeah, this way we've got a little bit of credibility when it occurs, you know.
It's like that I told you so thing. You know, we got the telescope, we got Lucifer, we got it all. Why didn't you listen to us then? Shane, thank you so much for your call.
Bow that knee.
You're the man. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Uncle Doug. Well, we did want to go to Uncle Doug. Uncle Doug, are you there? No, it's Eddie in Wisconsin. I hope Uncle Doug calls back. Eddie in Wisconsin, you're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to make a quick comment and then kind of get your comment on this. John, I'd be interested in what you have to say. Basically, back, I remember a couple of years back that this is kind of pertaining to the actual Anunnaki and Zachariah Sitchin's philosophy. If humans have DNA and they were doing some genetic research and that they kept calling what's known as junk DNA junk, which could technically possibly be the genetic splicing of alien DNA. And I'd like to, I guess, get your feedback as to if the Anunnaki from Nibiru actually spliced us and created us to, as Zachariah Sitchin said, mine gold, I guess what might they be able to do to protect us, and what are their feelings towards us as a human race at this point when Nibiru comes flying in?
So, go ahead, John.
I believe that these aliens are actually fallen angels. You see, there's no way that life as we know it could exist on planet X, which is, according to Dr. Harrington and all the great astronomers and astrophysicists that I quoted in this New York Times article, they all say that it's a brown dwarf star. That's their best estimate. Now, a brown dwarf star, we can associate and get an idea of it by just looking at Jupiter. Jupiter is a massive body. It's about, equivalent to 318 Earth masses, but it's much less dense than Earth. It's a gaseous, it's a gas giant. That's what they typically call it. Now, there's no way that anyone could live on the surface of Jupiter. I mean, it's just unbelievable that it could ever happen. So life could not exist on Jupiter. Life could not exist on Jupiter's big brother, a brown dwarf star, much like Jupiter.
What about
X.
John? What about the winged planet
from another dimension without flesh and blood? Angels could come in, and they're falling through portals, I believe.
Right,
they come from another dimension.
But I'm confused. What about the idea of the Sumerian story and legend of the winged planet, and that the gods lived on that planet, and that is Nibiru, right?
Yes, the winged planet is this, and you'll see evidence of it very often when you look at pictures from the SOHO satellite that takes pictures of the sun. Once in a while, you'll see a comet come in, and it'll have wings that'll look like a flying disc. Now, this flying disc, this winged globe, was witnessed by civilizations in the past when Planet X or Nibiru came in 36 and a half centuries ago, around 1650 BC. Mm-hmm. The Babylonians and the Ninevites, they all recorded this this winged planet, and that's in Zechariah Sitchin's book, as we all know. The wing effect is caused by this. This object grabs plasma. Plasma is electrified gases. As this object comes in from deep space, it enters Earth's heliosphere, which is a massive, a huge spherical barrier composed of gases, hydrogen ions, positively charged. Now, just as you, when you get electrical charge sticks to your hands, when you put your hand inside of a box of styrofoam packing peanuts, and they stick so tenaciously you can't get them off your hands. Well, that's a static electric cling, and that static cling is the same thing that occurs with this massive body as it goes through the plasma-drenched heliosphere. It becomes drenched with electrically sticky plasma, and then it discharges. When it gets close to the sun, the positive charge engulfing this planet, this cometary dwarf star, begins to interact and attract to the sun's negatively electrical space charge, and you have tremendous zapping. So what happens now then is when it gets close to the sun, the plasma begins to spread out laterally and it looks like wings. So what you're seeing is red glowing plasma, positively charged, as it's being attracted by the sun. And it's kind of complex to explain why it goes out laterally. It's scientifically too complex to talk about now.
Okay.
But you do get lateral wings. And here's the thing. As it gets close to Earth, or one of its massive accompanying bodies gets close to Earth, those lateral plasma wings begin also become accompanied by a vertically downward discharging from the entire, from the body itself, from the comet itself to the Earth. So now you have a cross. A glowing red cross in the sky is formed when it gets close enough to Earth, and the Son of God predicted that he would come, and his sign, the cross, would appear in the sky when he appears. So he is coming with Planet X, and maybe, you know, it's funny how angels are connected to comets in the Bible.
Well, you can remember through history, John, that Constantine saw a cross in the sky, which prompted him to create the church. He felt that he needed to, bring service back to God, and created Christianity and converted Rome to Christianity because of this symbol in the sky that was a cross, much like what you're talking about. So it's another fascinating chapter in the saga of the winged planet, or Planet X, or the crossing planet, or the cross planet. 888-673-3700. John DiNardo with us tonight on Ground Zero. Fascinating program. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
I'm Clyde Lewis. Welcome back to Ground Zero. My guest tonight, John DiNardo. Here's a good question. I'm going to get it from Isad in California. What is your question? Go ahead. What's your question, Isad?
Yeah, I just wanted to know that this planet's so big. Why can't we see it now? Is it that it's not close, or is it, you know, amateur astronomers able to see small comets coming to? And I believe in everything that's being said, but why aren't we able to see it now? That's my question.
Okay, according to the, we've known for over 30 years, since 1983, in this New York Times article, the clues get warm in the search for Planet X. What they're saying here, and I'm just going to quote something to get that answers your question. Quote, the infrared astronomical satellite, this is the first month of 1983, the infrared astronomical satellite was boosted into a 560-mile high polar orbit Tuesday night from Vandenberg Air Force Base, California. It represents an $80 million venture by the United States, Britain, and the Netherlands. In the next 6 or 7 months, the telescope is expected to conduct a wide-ranging survey of nearly all the sky, detecting sources not of ordinary light. That's the answer to your question. Not of ordinary light, but of infrared radiation, which is invisible to the human eye and largely absorbed by the atmosphere. Scientists thus hope that the new telescope will chart thousands of infrared-emitting objects that have gone undetected, stars, interstellar clouds, asteroids, and with any luck, that object that gravitationally pulls at Uranus and Neptune. There's your answer. You can't see it because it only emits invisible infrared light. However, when it gets, because it's engulfed with plasma, this positive electrically charged plasma, as it gets closer to the negative electrically charged space charge around our sun, that plasma then begins to glow. It lights up. It's like a man with a cigar, puffing on a cigar, walking through a dark hallway, getting closer and closer. You begin to see that little red dot in the sky, that glowing dot, and it gets bigger and bigger as the weeks go by.
It's a great question. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stern. Thank you, Clyde. Thank you, Clyde. I love your show.
I love you, man. Thank you for calling in. John, you're the man. I swear, it was great selection tonight. I had a great conversation with you. I'm sure the callers were fascinated by what you had to say. I want to know, where can we hear you and hear more of what you talk about here?
Well, I don't have a radio show. Actually, my webmaster, Sheldon Day, has the Light of Day radio show.
Okay.
But I do have recordings of drama, Planet X dramas that I've done over the years on the shortwave. Let me just give you the website where you can get all the audio archives of all these fascinating music surrounded dramas of Planet X, plus my many radio interviews, and that is thelightofdayradioshow.com. thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on the Planet X logo.
John, we're going to be looking up in the skies eventually, seeing that man with the cigar and the little red dot getting closer and closer. We'll be noticing things coming out of the sky. We'll be noticing fireballs and meteors and all kinds of things, reminding us that something out there is coming, and we'll think of what you had to say tonight. Thank you so much for a great Planet X show. Some of the time Planet X shows just get so typical, but tonight I think was a very special night for Planet X and the discussion. Thank you so much for being a part of this program.
Thank you, Clyde.
You have a good night. Take care. John DiNardo, great show. Great callers tonight. You guys are wonderful. I really, really believe, once again, that I have the smartest callers in the whole country, all over the world. And so tomorrow night, join us again for Ground Zero. We'll be here. Hope you check in too. Good night from Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.